You heard that. You've been obedient so far. So, all right. 1 John chapter 4 and our theme verse, verse number 19. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. Let's say that together if we could. Say it with me. We love him because he first loved us. One more time. We love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this night. God, we thank you for this conference. God, we've got so much excitement and so many plans that come together at this moment and the next 4 days. God, we need your help right now. God, we need you to meet with us. God, we need you to take control of this service and of this crowd and of this preacher. Lord, we need you to take control of everything. God, I pray you speak to our hearts. God, I'm not trying to be long. I'm not trying to keep these people here a long time. But God, we want them to be impacted by your word. And God, we want to preach it with all that we have. But God, we want to receive from you what we need tonight. And God, that our lives would be different. We pray you'd help us with that. God, I pray that you would help me. Give me the right words, the right thoughts, the right spirit, Lord. And God, that I can get across what you want me to in the next few moments. I pray you'd bless the crowd tonight and the folks, Lord. We're glad they're here. God, we pray you give them exactly what they need. And God, help them to listen, to pay attention to it, and God, to be obedient to it. Not to me, but to you, Lord. We pray that you would help these next few moments, God. We pray that tonight and in the next few nights, Lord, that you would work in a mighty way amongst this church, amongst our young people. God, we need it. God, we need it. God, we're bombarded with temptations every day. The devil's after us, and many have fallen to him. And God, we're sick of people falling. It doesn't have to be like that. But God, the only way we're going to fight back with that is not by just gritting our teeth and getting through it. It's by loving you, by being close to you. God, we got to have you work on our hearts about that. Every problem in our Christian lives is a love problem. We pray you'd help us tonight, God. We pray you'd speak to our hearts in a powerful way, that your word would have free course in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. We love you. We pray you'd bless tonight in a great way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Loving God is the essence, the main point, the goal, the core of everything that we preach to you and teach to you and show you in this church. In case some of you just sit down and you're kind of still getting your bearings, let me repeat that. The love of God is the essence, the core, the main point, the goal that everything we teach and preach and show to you in this church is all about. It all centers around that. It all focuses on that. It all revolves around that. Listen, if you don't have that, there's nothing left. If you take that away, then we're just a bunch of Pharisees. If you take that away, then we're just a bunch of legalists. And if you take that away, all we do is a bunch of rituals and just go through some motions. But if you inject the love of God into it, that's what gives us life. That's what gives us power. That's what gives us a heart. That's what we need in this church. That's what we need amongst our young people. It's the essence. It's what we're shooting for. It's all that we're pointing towards. And let me remind you of this, for everybody. For everybody. The rule is the same. The standard is the same. Listen, I don't say to our church kids, you better love God, and the bus kids, well, do your own thing. No, 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 no. The same goal for them is the same goal for you. You need to love God just as much as anybody else in this room. We want to give other people a pass. We want to give other people an excuse and say, well, they just love God because they've been through this, or they haven't gone through this, or they haven't dealt with this situation or problem in their life. Let me tell you something. You've heard it tonight, but some of these people that you may think are pristine and that don't have any issues in their life, they've been through some hard times. They've been through some family splitting up, and they've been through some tragedy in their life. They've been through some heartache. They've been through some low moments, low points in their life, but what kept them going? The love of God kept them going. And that's what you need in your life. Don't excuse your way out of loving God. Don't give yourself a pass out of loving God. You don't get a doctor's note and say that you can't love God like the other person down the row from you. Listen, you can love God just as much as anybody else in this room. You don't have to be called to preach. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a full-time Christian worker. You just got to be a full-time Christian. And that's what we need. Loving God is what it's all about. So, listen, every class that's taught on Sunday morning is about loving God. Every bus that goes out on Sunday and every van that goes around these areas, around this community to reach people, listen, it's all about spreading the love of Jesus. Listen, we love him because he first loved us. And if we love him, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren and serve God. Listen, Kids, in case you get confused about all the different things that we preach and teach and all the different lessons that you hear and all the different sermons that you hear in church, and if it gets kind of complicated for you, if it gets a little too hard to figure out, if it's a little too much for you to grasp, let me just say, that's the main goal. That's the main point of everything we teach. Listen, you may not understand every Bible story. You may not understand every doctrine. You may not understand every word that we define and that we talk to you about. But if you get the love of God, you got it. You got it. Listen, we want you to learn the Bible. But if you don't know the Bible cover to cover yet, listen, if you love God, you're doing just fine. Listen, you may not have the nicest clothes. You may not have a suit or a nice dress to wear to church, but you wear the best you got, and you just say, Lord, I'm here. I love you. I'm here because I love you, and I want to give you my entire life. But you know what's sad? So many miss this completely. So many miss this completely. They're not even close. They get other stuff down, but they totally miss this. They know how to dress, but they don't love God. They know how to talk the Christian talk, but they don't love God. They may go to Christian school, but they don't love God. They know how to play by the rules for a while, but they don't love God. They know how to act in church. They know how to act around the Christian company, around the social scene at Woodlawn, but they don't love God. They go to Christian school, but they don't love God. They wear the Christian clothes, but they don't love God. They listen to the appropriate music that we tell you should, but they don't love God. They got the rituals down. They know how to walk through church. They know how to be friendly. They know how to be kind. They know how to tell people, good evening, brother, and how are you, sister? And they got to talk down and, oh, I'm blessed, and God's so good to me. And they can talk all that stuff, but they don't mean it on the inside. They got everything else down, but they've missed the main point. You know what invariably happens? Then they go and destroy their lives. You know what we think? What happened? They were here every service. They were here every service. They have good parents. They sat in a Christian school and they heard the Bible taught to them. What happened? They had heard it all. And Todd, as we talk about, how could that person come so many years and not get it? I don't understand. You know what happened? You know why they went through the motions and then they go and they destroy their lives and we think, what happened? You know what happened? They never got it. They never got it. They know they found out how to look cute in church, but they never loved God. They learned how to carry their Bible, but they didn't learn how to love God, apparently. They learned how to go with the flow at Woodlawn, but they didn't learn how to love God. Listen, love of God is not a corporate thing. It's not a collective thing for the most part. It's a personal thing. You got to love God for yourself. I can't make you love God. There's nothing I can say tonight to make you love God. I can encourage you, I can influence, but I can't make you love God. That's your decision. Listen, all the stuff he talked about, how good God's been, and taste and see that the Lord is good, and look at the God of creation, and you know, all these different things. You can look at all that and shut it all out if you want to. That's your choice. But people go and destroy their lives, and we think, what happened? They had so much potential. You know what? Potential is nothing unless it's maximized. You know how many people and how many kids I met? Man, they got great potential. God could use them. They could be on a bus route. They could preach. They could lead a class, da, 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 da. And they never do any of that. You know why? They don't love God like they should. It's not about what people think of you. It's not about your image in church. It's not about your reputation. It's not about your persona and what you put on and whether people think you're nice or you're cool or you're funny or you're cute or whatever. It's not about all that. It's about, do you love God like you should? Folks, that's what we're shooting for this week. Do you get it? That's what it's all about. Listen, I believe if you get the love of God in your life like you need to, you'll be faithful to God. If you love God like you should, Jeff, you'll desire God. You'll be in his word saying, God, speak to me. Give me what I need. You'll be on your knees. If you truly love God, you're going to be talking to him saying, God, I need you today. It's hard to love you in this day and age. It's hard to love you when all these temptations are around me. It's difficult. God, I want to love you like I should. Don't be like those people that never get it. Young people, don't let that be you. Church folks, don't let that be you. We've seen enough of them fall. And I'm sick of it. I hate it. It doesn't have to be. You know what happens? Little by little, the devil tricks us, and our love for God begins to diminish and wane. And as Pastor talked about, preached about a couple weeks ago, we've left our first love. We've forgotten why we serve God. We've forgotten why we come to church. We're trying to put on an act. We're trying to impress people instead of loving God like we should. And listen, notice this statement. The farther and farther you get away from God, the more dangerous your situation becomes. Because you know what? Peter followed God afar off. He had some distance, some space. You know just exactly when the devil decided to throw the knockout blow at Peter? When he was away from God. And the devil will do the same for you. He'll wait. He'll wait till you get some praise and some honor and you start getting a big head and thinking, oh, yeah, I did this myself. And that distance begins to grow between you and God. And then when the devil sees you're vulnerable, he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Devil's always scanning. Devil's always after people. And when he sees someone that's off by themselves, distance from God, you know what he does? He brings the knockout blow right then. If you're not close to God, you don't stand a chance. Don't let this be you. Listen, if you get anything, get this. If you get anything, get this. Listen, as I say, you may not know the Bible very well, but love God. You may not know all the Christian rules yet, but love God. You may not have the proper way to pray and the proper way to talk yet. You may not have all the brothers and sisters and blessings and grace and love and mercy. You may not understand all that stuff yet. That's okay. You just love him like you should. If you get anything, get this. As he quoted that verse out of Mark about, listen, on these two commandments, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, listen, on that hangs all the law and the prophets. You know what that's talking about? All the whole Old Testament is summed up in those two commandments. If you love God like you should and you love your neighbor like you should, you're taking care of the whole Old Testament. You don't have to worry about them sacrifices and bringing your goat to church on Wednesday night. You don't have to worry about none of that. You just love God like you should and love your neighbor as yourself. And leave your goat in the backyard. It's the first and it's the greatest commandment. If you want to boil down the whole Bible, this is it. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. That's it. So I ask you tonight, do you get it? Do you get it? Has there ever been a time when God's love has hit you so hard, when you realize, like Jeff talked about, not just that he died for the whole world, but that he died for you? If you were the only person on the face of the earth, he still would have died for you. Has that ever hit you? Has that ever sunk in? Has that ever been like a wrecking ball into your heart and hit you hard and you think, wow, oh my goodness, he did that for me? Listen, the problem is we get over it. The problem is when we first get saved, we're so excited and we're so amazed by the love of God, but after that, we get used to it. We expect God to love us. In America, we expect God to do everything that we want. And if he doesn't, we start complaining to him. We're spoiled in the United States. We really are. Hey, I'm glad for the privileges and for the luxuries that we have in this country as well. I like them, okay? I'm all for them. But you know what? God doesn't, we don't deserve any of those things from God. We haven't earned any of those things from God. If our country continues to go downhill, don't you be shaking your fist at God. It's our fault, not his. Listen, if you don't get everything you want, and I want God to bless you, and God says he'll supply all your need, but listen, if God doesn't give you everything you want, if you don't get that brand new car, and you don't get that nice new phone, or those shoes, or those clothes, or have those friends like you, and all that stuff, if God doesn't give you all those things, God has still been better to you than you deserve. He doesn't owe us that stuff, but we get this mentality, entitlement that, oh, God has to do this for me. God, you didn't give me a parking space in D.C., you're never going to get one, all right? Unless you call fire down and burn up the car that's already double parked there, you ain't getting one. If you get anything, get this. Do you get it?
Kids, listen. We're trying to get clear all this other stuff out of the way and ask you this clear question. Do you get it? We want you to get it. Listen, we have kids here that maybe this is your first week here. We've had kids here that you've come for 10, 12 years. But I still ask you, do you get it? And by the way, if you say, yeah, I got it a long time ago, don't lose it. Don't lose it. You know, when Peter fell, the Lord said three times to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You know what? He's hammering on his problem. He's saying, Peter, your faith failed, but also you didn't love me like you should. He talks to the church of Ephesus, and he says, you left your first love. Listen, as an individual, you know how they get off track? Not loving God like they should. You know, a church, when they get off track, they don't love God like they should. Maybe you've let something else take over your heart and take over your affection, like Demas did. He hath forsaken Paul, having loved this present world. Maybe you're thinking of turning your back on Woodlawn, and you know what? You may be turning your back on Woodlawn because you're turning your back on God. Maybe you've let the love for God be replaced by something else. I want to give you these points tonight. Number one is this. I want you to see, first of all, the initiation of love. The initiation. Verse number 19. The Bible says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. I want to let you know that you didn't start this process. He did. I want to let you know that he didn't start loving you when you started loving him. He loved you way before that. He didn't start loving you when you walked through those doors the first time. He didn't start loving you when you opened the Bible for the first time. He didn't start loving you when you got down on your knees and prayed a sinner's prayer for the first time. Listen, he's loved you well before that, way before that. You know what that does? That humbles me. Because sometimes we start thinking we're big stuff. And we got this ministry and we got these people looking up to us and we're leaders and this and this and that. Listen, you would be nothing unless God started this process by loving you when you were unlovable. I'm glad for his love. I'm thankful for his love. I'm glad he started this. I'm glad he began this. I'm glad he did this first. When I didn't even know him, he still loved me. When I couldn't even come to the comprehension of a God, he still loved me. This is a planned out love. Listen, this goes way back. The Bible says it's before the foundation of the world that he loved you. That he had it planned out, that he knew as a human race we would fall into sin, but he still provided redemption for us. He still provided a Savior for us to go to Calvary and die on that cross, a horrific death for you and for me. He planned it out. This goes way back, the initiation of love. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. He didn't start loving you when you got a nice wardrobe for church. He didn't start loving you when you found out what all the Christian cliches mean. This has been planned out way back. Because he first loved us. Not only did he plan it out, but this is a passionate love. I like the love of God is not just a wishy-washy love. It's not a lukewarm love. This has some heat to it. This has some passion to it. This has some intensity to it. The Bible says, the most famous verse in the Bible says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. You know, thinking about that sentence, Jeff, you could pretty much say the same thing and just say, for God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But I like he throws that two-letter word in there, so. Because you know what? That cranks it up a notch. That takes it to another degree, another extent. Listen, that emphasizes it. That intensifies it. He says, for God so loved the world. That's an adverb, so. Okay? Listen, adverbs answer how, when, why, how often, and to what extent. Those are the questions that adverbs answer. You say, is this English class? No. Thank the Lord it's not. But I'll give you something here real quick, all right? They answer those questions. How, when, why, how often and to what extent? Listen, when you want to know why God loved, I said he so loved. When you want to know how God loved, I said he so loved. When you want to know to what extent God loved, I said he so loved. When you want to know how he loves us, I said he so loved you. I'm glad about that. Listen, this isn't just some wishy-washy love. This isn't just some mediocre thing that he says, yeah, I guess I'll love you. No. This was planned out and this has some heat with it. Some passion with it. He so loved you that he couldn't allow you to burn in hell without putting up a fight for you. I'm glad for the God that we serve. I couldn't serve Buddha. I couldn't serve Muhammad. I couldn't serve Allah. I couldn't serve Mary. Listen, I serve Jesus. You know why? Because he gave his life for me. It's a planned out love. It's a passionate love. It's a proven love. Listen, the Bible says, greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. There's no greater love than this. I don't care what you saw on TV. I don't care what movie you've checked out. I don't care what you saw on your Xbox or whatnot or on YouTube. Listen, I don't care whatever love you've kind of seen on the internet with eHarmony or Match or whatever else. Listen, the greatest love there's ever been was when a holy Savior came to this earth and he bled and he suffered and he died for the sins of mankind. Greater love had no man than that. That's the greatest love there's ever been. And he laid down his life. He sacrificed himself. It was his choice. And he went through with it. But God commended his love toward us. He commended, he showed it, he proved it. Listen, if you're wondering in this room, does God really love me? He already proved it. You say, if God would just show me a sign, he already did. It's on two pieces of wood. Does God really love me? Show me something in the sky. No, he already did on a cross. Listen, he came for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, he loved you enough to come. He loved you enough to be crucified. Jeff quoted the verses earlier, but listen, he was bruised for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He wasn't up on that cross for anything that he did. He wasn't up there because of any impurities that he had. It was because of your sins and mine. Amen. He proved his love. He came to this earth for you. He was crucified for you, and he cares for you. Listen, you ever wonder why a bus route came through your neighborhood? I say it's because the Savior cares for you. You ever wonder why that person knocked on your door? I say it's because a Savior cares for you. You know, you say, no, that wasn't the Savior. That was the bus captain. That was the van captain. You know, the only reason they're out there knocking on doors or running that bus or that van is because ultimately the love of God has impacted them so much that they say, I got to share this with other people. I'm glad he cares. And I'm glad he loves us enough to come after us. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen. The love of God is a deep love. I said it's a deep love. You say, how deep does it go? As deep down as you are. I said as deep down as you are. Listen, into the muck and mire of sin, into the filthiness and wickedness in which you were conceived, shaped in iniquity. Listen, I'm telling you, the love of God is a deep love. A deep love. Listen, when the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son when the Savior reached way down for me. Woo! That's the kind of love that we're talking about this week. Listen, that as he's talking about, that should get you more excited than LeBron or Steph, especially with how he shot last week, all right? Listen, that should get you more excited than, listen, I don't care if you had a bad day. I don't care if nothing went your way today. Listen, a holy God loves you. That should brighten your day right there. As I'm studying this stuff and thinking about it, Bubba, I'm thinking, wow, you know what? I don't have to worry about that little stuff coming my way. God loves me. Don't forget that. Have you gotten over it? It was a proven love. It was a pondered love. He thought about it. Listen, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. When he was on the cross hanging there, you were on his mind. You know what? He thought about you, your life, your good things, your bad things, your sins. And he said, you know what? I'll still pay for them. It's a pondered love. And it's a persistent love. Listen, he didn't stop. He didn't quit. Nails didn't keep Jesus on the cross. Love kept Jesus on the cross. He took it for you. Bus captain, have you gotten a little discouraged? Have you think it's not worth it anymore? You know what? Don't quit. You know why? Because he didn't quit on you. Keep doing it for him. Hey, we have the bus ministry and we reach people and kids and teens and all that. But you know what? Ultimately, the bus ministry is not for them. It's for him. You say, does God need a ride? No, but he needs somebody to provide rides for people that don't have them. and he uses us. It's a ponder love. It's a persistent love. And it's a personal love. Listen, he did this for you. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know what he's saying? God has been merciful to you. You know what mercy is? When God withholds his punishment on you when you deserve to be punished. How many? If you think back and you're like, how many times did God deserve to come down on you hard, but he didn't? He was merciful to you. Paul says, I beg you. Brethren, listen, we are the recipients of God's mercy more than anyone else. You know why? Because we belong to him. If not for that, we'd be burning in hell. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And by the way, he deserves that. That's your reasonable service. Psalm 86:13. I'm going to hurry up. I'll try, all right? Psalm 86:13 says this. Great is thy mercy toward me, for thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. If you say, I don't know if God's been merciful to me, just realize the fact that you're not burning in hell tonight. He's been merciful to you. He's protected you. He's provided for you. He's blessed you. He's taught you. He's placed you in a great church. He's encouraged you. He's been merciful to you. He's spared you. He's heard your prayers. He's taken time for you. You can cast all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. What an amazing love. And you know what? This is a powerful love. It needs to strike an impression on you. It needs to leave an imprint on your heart. It needs to be the greatest news that you've ever heard. It needs to be the greatest story you've ever heard about the love of Jesus. Number one, the initiation of God's love. Number two, the impact of God's love. Listen, lest we forget the first point, he started this thing. He loved you when you didn't love him. He loved you when you didn't know about him. He started this. He initiated it all. But number two, the impact of God's love. You know what, folks? This needs to hit you. There needs to come a time in your life where the love of God hits you so hard that it touches your heart and that you're never the same again. It needs to grip and squeeze your heart. It needs to bring you to your knees sometimes. It needs to put tears in your eyes and rolling down your face because of the love of God. It needs to impact you. How does it need to impact you? First of all, it needs to break you. It needs to break you. It needs to break you and humble you of your pride. As I said, sometimes we start thinking we're big stuff. Listen, without the love of God, we're nothing. It needs to break you. Listen, do you have too much pride to come to the altar tonight? Do you care too much about what your friends think or what they might say about you or kid with you about if you come down to this altar and get your life right? I guarantee you, your friends could never care about you as much as God does. By the way, your Savior died for you. What has your friend ever done for you? I would take his advice much more than anyone else. It needs to break you. It needs to humble your pride. Paul said, listen, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? I can't be proud of anything else in my life except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for me. And because of that, I end up in heaven. I got nothing else to be proud of. I got nothing else to rejoice in. I got nothing else to lift my head up about and shout about except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because without that, I'm nothing. The Bible says, without him, we can do nothing. It needs to break you. You know what else? Not only does it need to break you, this impact, it needs to break you, but also it needs to bother you. It needs to bother you. You say, what are you talking about? It needs to bother me. Here's how it needs to bother you, about your sin. Listen, if you understand and you get hit down with the love of God in your heart and in your life, and if it really connects with you and hits down hard in your life, listen, first of all, it's got to break you, your pride, and you got to think, you know what? I have nothing to be proud of. I need to be ashamed of everything else except the Lord Jesus Christ. But number two, it needs to bother you about your sin. How can you say you love God and listen to sorry music? How can you say you love God and look at nudity on the computer screen or on the TV screen? How can you say you love God and skip church whenever it feels convenient? How can you say you love God, young lady, and dress like a whore? How can you say you love God and have a sorry attitude with your parents? How can you say you love God and talk back to them? Listen, it needs to bother you. Have you ever been broken and bothered over your own sin? Has it ever hit you when somebody's up here preaching and it just, man, it like stings in your heart and you just think, God, how could I do that against you? Listen, when you sin like that, you're not sinning against the pastor or your parents or me. You are sinning against God. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. David affected a bunch of other people, but he says, listen, even more than Bathsheba, even more than Uriah, even more than the king, even more than the nation, I have affected and broke your heart, God. Joseph said, listen, how can I sin and do this great wickedness against God? Do you ever see your sin as personal against God? Does it bother you about your sin? Listen, you can't love him and love your sin at the same time. You can't love him and love your sin at the same time. You can't. You can't. It's impossible. The Bible says in Psalm 97:10, it says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Listen, do you say, Tom, do you still struggle with sin? Yes. Do you still battle with temptation? Yes. Do you still have a hard time in the fight? Yes. But you know what? I need to hate when I do wrong, when I slip up, when I make mistakes. It needs to hurt me and say, God, I'm sorry I did that against you. It needs to break you. It needs to bother you. And it needs to burden you. Burden you. You say, what does that mean? To do something back for him. Listen, we don't have this conference just to say, oh, the love of God, woohoo, what an amazing love, what a wonderful love, what an amazing thing he did for us. That's all fine and good, but you know what? It needs to burden you and say, what can I do for him? How can I give back? How can I repay? Listen, you need to be sensitive to it. Listen, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. You need to love him back. It's not okay just to sit through four services. It's not okay just to go to some activities and fit the dress code. It's not okay just to go through the motions and not love God in your heart. Listen, you know what we're shooting for? You know what we're going after? You know what we're aiming at in the next 4 days? For not only do you to realize and rock your world how much God loves you and hit you so hard, but you know what else? We want you to love him back. We want it to burden you. Listen, you shouldn't be okay with sitting in Woodlawn every week and not doing anything for God. You shouldn't be okay with that. That should bother you. That should burden you. Have you ever sat in your pew or in your bench and the preacher's going on and you think, man, what am I doing for God? You ever thought about that? Oh, if they get me involved, I know they're going to have me in the same ministry 20 weeks. Don't worry about all that. Listen, you just serve God in some capacity. You say, what can be done? Everything. Anything. We need more people to give out tracts, to show up Thursday, to visit routes, to read their Bible, to pray, to be friendly to other people that come in, to new people. Shouldn't just be the pastor and Brother Bill and Miss Christina. Welcome, glad to have you here. And the rest of us, okay, they're doing their job. I'm going to stay away. New person, alert. No. You know what? I need to love that new person just as much as they do. And welcome them in. The initiation of God's love, the impact of God's love. It needs to break you and bother you and burden you. You need to love him because he first loved us. And David says in Psalm 116, he says this statement, this question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? You know what? He got so filled up and so overwhelmed with the blessings of God in his life. He says, God, what can I give back to you? Would you do me a favor tonight and ask that question of yourself? What can I do for God? What can I do? God, you've humbled me. You've broken me from my pride. God, you've bothered me about my sin, and I'm going to confess that and get it right. By the way, we don't just preach hard to get on your sin for you to feel bad about it. You know what? The conviction of God is a good thing, because if you respond to it, he'll wipe the sin away. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every Christian in this room should use that verse often. It should bother you and it should burden you. I got to do something back for him. Is it okay with you that he took all that for you and you do nothing for him? Are you okay with that? I'm not okay with that in my life. Listen, maybe you are involved in something. You know what you ought to ask? God, what else can I do? He needs to burden you. God, what can I do for you after all you've done for me? Listen, everything you have in your life is because of the love of God. Every good gift, every perfect gift. Paul says, what do you have that you didn't receive? I mean, what good thing do you have that God didn't give you? Nothing. He says, well, why do you strut around like you earned it? The initiation of God's love, the impact of God's love. Lastly, the igniting of love. The igniting of love. You know what? Something needs to come of it. Listen, we don't want to just talk about how great his love is. We don't want to just talk about how it needs to hit you and impact you. We want a fire to start because of it. We want there to be a response. Something needs to come of it. Listen. You know our problem? Every hot and heavy sermon, we feel bad about it. And Pastor, I think for the most part, we get impacted. It hits our heart. I think people get convicted very often in this church, and I'm glad about that. Me too. I need it. Listen, if you go to a church and you never get convicted, you are probably in the wrong place. Either that or you are completely out of the will of God to where you don't even care anymore. One of the two. But you need to go to a church where it's in your face, where they preach hard, where they tell you what the book says, because that's what you need. You don't need some cute story. You don't need some fancy illustration. You need the book. That's what changes lives. Listen, but there needs to be an igniting in your life. Listen, after you understand that we love him, why? Because he first loved us and he initiated this whole process. After you understand that there needs to be an impact in your heart and in your life, something needs to come of it. There needs to be an igniting. Listen, when you start that fire, it's just a spark. It's just very small, but it grows and it develops and it spreads. That's what you need in your life. The problem is we come to church, we get convicted very often, but we don't do anything with it. Todd, I think every year, youth conference, the sermons are on point, and they give us what God has for us. But you know what? 3 days later, nobody remembers what the preaching was about. Nobody remembers what decision they made a week later. You know why? Nothing came of it. And it's not God's fault. You never got busy with it. The igniting of love. It needs to start a fire in you. Four things. I'm going to name them off. We'll be out of here. First of all, if it's going to ignite in you and find its explosion point, first of all, is this. You need to be devoted. He mentioned the verse earlier. You need to love God with all your heart. That means with your loyalty. With all your heart, with all your soul. There needs to be some excitement, some life to it. Does your love for God have life to it, or is it boring? You need to have loyalty. You need to have some life to it. Listen, with all your mind, that's your learning. Listen, when you read the Word of God, do you love God with your mind and say, God, help me to soak it in. Help me to understand it. Do you love him with your learning? And then it says, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's your labor. Do you ever labor for God? Listen, you need to be devoted. Do you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, strength? If you are devoted, that will be displayed. People will see it. Listen. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, people will see that. You won't have to announce at your work, I love God. Just want to let y'all know, I love him. Okay, we got that down? All right, let's get back to work. You know, no. If you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, people will notice that. Man, why didn't he take part in the dirty jokes like everybody else? Why didn't he look? Why does he not look when everybody else looks at that woman walking by? What's different about him? It's because he loves God with all his heart and soul and mind and strength. People will see it. You need to be devoted. Number two, you need to get doing something. Like he talked about, Jesus said, hold on. You want to check yourself? If you love me, that's up to you. If you love me, keep my commandments. You say, I want to prove that I love God. Then do what he says. Do what he says. Listen, you need to be devoted. You need to get doing something real quick. If you want to do what he says, here's a couple I'll just list out. You need to live holy. You need to be a soul winner. You need to talk right and think right. You need to come to church. There's many, many more, but I think you probably already know. Get doing something. He talked about, man, all these points you already did, man. That's all right. You need to delight in it. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. As he's talking about, when it's time to soul win, we shouldn't have people dragging in. Let's go serve God. I'm ready. Are you ready? No, you ain't ready. You ready for the bed, man. Listen, there should be some excitement. There should be some fire inside us. Let's go serve God. Let's get those tracks out. Listen, the class I teach, Sunday morning, Sunday school class, The guys this week, the last 7 days, they passed out 902 tracts. That's awesome. Listen, what can we do? You need to delight in it. This is not a chore. This is not boring. This is not a drag. This is not, you know, oh, man, we're going to have to get through another service. Kenny Baldwin comes. You know he preaches a while. You ought to enjoy it. Delight in it. Then the last thing, you need to be determined. You know a problem with us? I think some people make decisions, and they have good intentions with it. They're sincere. But you know what? They're not determined. You mark it down. If you make a decision this week, the devil's gonna smack you in the face and say, you're not going to keep it. And he's going to throw everything at you, including the kitchen sink, to stop you from keeping that decision. Be determined. Well, what can I throw in my life, in my mind, to motivate me and help me be determined? Let's try something different. How about the love of God? Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. You know what that means? It compels me. It urges me. When Paul's laying on the ground after being stoned, after people hating him and cussing him and criticizing him and say, get out of here, we don't want you. And he's discouraged and he's down in the dust. What encouraged and motivated Paul to push himself up back off the ground, to dust himself off and say, let's get back to work. Let's get back to serving God. I'll tell you what did. The love of God. Because he thought, you know what? Jesus didn't quit on me. I can't quit yet. Amen. He said, the love of Christ constrains me. Constrained you lately? Has it pushed you lately? I challenge you. If you're thinking about quitting, why don't you just read the crucifixion story a while? Why don't you just think about what he went through you? It'll constrain you. It'll push you to keep on going. So young people, do you get it? This love thing is a big deal. He loved us first. He initiated the whole process. He had it all planned out. It needs to impact you. Has there ever been a time that you thought so much about the cross, that you thought so much about what Jesus has done for you, that you spent some time just meditating and thinking on what he did for you and reading the Word of God and talking about what he gave up for you? Have you ever had that hit you? And then, after it impacts you, has it ever ignited a fire in you? Listen, don't just be touched by the sermon. Don't just walk out and say, Brother Jeff, great message. I really needed that. Brother Tom, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then walk out those doors and do nothing for God. Not trying to burst your bubble, that doesn't get you anywhere. You know what? That's the same as watching a movie. You didn't watch Lifetime. You read the Word of God. And we talked about the love of God, and it needs to impact you and hit you so hard that you are never the same because of it. It needs to ignite a fire in you. Do you get it? We love him because he first loved us. Let's bow for prayer. God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for our church, Lord. We thank you for this youth conference. God, we love you. God, we need you. We need our love for you to be cranked up so much. God, we pray you would work in our hearts tonight. We pray that, God, your word would just go forth and impact us in a way maybe that it hasn't for a long time. God, I pray you would help us. Help us to love you. Help us to realize that you initiated this, that it needs to impact us, and it needs to ignite a fire inside of us. And when things get tough, for the love of Christ to constrain us, compel us to keep on going. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Why don't you stand to your feet?